Well, thanks, Tony. Thanks, team. And thank you, Kerry. We're truly blessed with our communion messages here. But while you're being blessed by the communion messages, just sometimes spare a thought for the preacher who's there. How am I going to follow that up? Because you know, it's just so wonderful, the reminder this morning that what church is about, what God's about, is not those who are perfect, those who are good, those who have a club where we're better than others, but it's about God taking lives, broken lives, restoring them, and filling them with His grace, with His presence. And we had a wonderful reminder of that this morning. So, thank you, Kerry. And I just love it that you started with His goodness follows me. And you finished with that too, but just be there near the end about the cross and what the cross is. And so we just thank you for that. And that's a great reminder. I mean, hey, that's all we need. You know, God's goodness is coming. God's goodness is always with us and the cross. But let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, the opportunity to come and to worship you with others. Lord, I thank you, Lord. It's not only a privilege, Lord, it's what you've called us to. And Lord, we just thank you for what you do when we come together. Lord, we thank you for what you do in our lives, what you have done in our lives. But Lord, our lives, what you want to do in our lives doesn't end with just a conversion experience, a salvation experience. But Lord, that's just the start. You have so much you want to do. And Lord, let us pray that we would continue to be open to what you want to do in our lives, to be open and welcoming to your presence and your working in our lives. And I just pray this morning as we take this time to look at your word and to think about it, to hear it, Lord, I pray that again that you would speak to us and that we would be open to hear what you would want to say. And Lord, that you would even, Lord, not just be a hearing, but Lord, there would be an impartation. We pray, Lord, a strengthening in our lives this morning. A continued strengthening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start this morning with Psalm 46. And if you were here last week, I was there, I was up the back, because Mel and I had been on the door and on welcoming, and Trevor's talking about his go-to passages, and he starts talking about Psalm 46. And I'd already decided that I wanted to start today with Psalm 46, and I'm thinking, this is going to be awkward for me, isn't it? But then I was thankful he went on to a different passage, so I still hopefully get to say what I want to. At Psalm 46, we could read the whole psalm, but I really just mainly want to read the first three verses, so we'll just do that this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the sea, into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah, which means to stop and think, stop and meditate. Just this morning, as I wanted to share, and I want to talk a little bit more, hopefully cover today the last three points that I had about what to do in the storm. And really I was thinking, especially this morning, and what drew me to Psalm 46 was inspiration from the hymn Rock of Ages. And the inspiration from that hymn was Augustus Toplady. I hope I've said his last name right. But he was found himself travelling around as a young minister and caught in a storm, but he found refuge under an overhanging rock. And while he is sheltering there from the storm, he's reminded about how he finds his shelter in God. And that's sort of the part of the inspiration for what I want to talk about. But it's also, I really see that here in the start of Psalm 46. Because the rock, it gives this an impression. You know, really, it speaks of both a refuge and a strength. Somewhere where we can hide, where we can find safety, whether it be from the storm or even in biblical times, it was a place of safety from attack. You know, that you could find safety in the rock and the enemy couldn't reach you, but certainly from the storm. But also there's that sense of strength. It's somewhere to shelter us, and it's something also to build our lives on that will make us strong. And we see that in this psalm. And the idea of sheltering in the rock. And I think about the storm, and certainly myself, but we can feel like, wouldn't you just love to, or wouldn't I just rather, when the storm's on, just shelter there in the rock, I'll be hidden under the rock, and the storm's going on around me, and I'm not touched by it. Or maybe like the eagles, who actually are able to soar on the thermals above the storm even. The storm's going on down there, but they're up there, and they're untouched by it. And wouldn't we just love that? And wouldn't that make life a whole lot easier? And if as Christians, I could just be sheltered all the time and the storms wouldn't touch me. But the reality is that we do face trials. We face challenges. We face storms in our lives. We face wilderness experience. And as much as we might want to be untouched by the storm, but we find that we do have to go through these times. But the thing is, we can be completely safe from these storms harming us. We can be in the shelter of that rock in the sense and completely safe, where it's not able to harm us in a way that is significant, where it's not able to take from us the things that are really important, where we can find that shelter, we can find that refuge if we allow ourselves to be in a place where God continues to lead us, where God continues to direct, and where God protects us. We can be completely safe from harm, from the spiritual harm, from losing the things that are valuable. You know, we know that when things are difficult, we're supposed to hang on to God. We're supposed to trust God in those times. We're supposed to believe Him, to continue to believe Him. But sometimes, even though we know it, we can find it. Okay, I know I'm supposed to do that, but how do I do it? What are the first steps? We can find ourselves overwhelmed. We find ourselves lost in the situation. And we know what we're supposed to do, but the outworking of it, the getting ourselves to do that, we can get lost in that. We can find it so overwhelming. We can be unaware of the how-to. And what I found as I was just thinking about the storms, and I was really particularly inspired by the disciples going across the sea, and you know, Jesus in the boat, but they're in the storm, and they're so concerned and they're so worried about that. But Jesus wasn't concerned about it. And so there's some things I find as I look through the Bible that we can actually specifically apply to our lives. And you can call them storms, you can call them wilderness times, you can call them going through the valley or whatever. But these are things that I really believe, the things that we can apply to our lives that will help us to trust God, will help us to hang on in those times. And that's been the inspiration for what I've been talking about the last three or four times I've been here. And that's what I want to continue with this morning. You know, and storms can be scary. You know, there's most of us with no children, maybe we've even had children who are scared of the storms, especially bedtime, trying to quieten them, and there's a storm going on. There was one particular little boy, it was his bedtime, his mum's putting him to bed, and there's a storm outside, and it's probably, you know, thunder and lightning and wind and all that, and he's scared, and his mum's putting him to bed, trying to calm him, trying to quiet him. And, you know, he's a bit upset about that. Doesn't want to go to bed on his own. He says, "Mum, can you sleep in my room tonight?" And she says, "No, darling, I can't sleep in your room. I've got to sleep in Daddy's room tonight." And there's silence for a moment. And he sniffs back a tear. And he says, "The big sissy." So storms can harm us if we let them, or we can, if we continue to trust God, we can find a way through that. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So just the things we talked about the things to do in the storm is to make sure that our life is built on the right foundation. Is my life built on Jesus? You know, that I trust him, that I'm living in his ways. That we can remember the awesomeness and power of God. That whatever the circumstances we're going through, that God is greater than our circumstances. It's also helpful at times to ask, you know, what else God might be doing at this time. Because sometimes the difficult situation for us may simply be about, you know, it's not God's timing. You know, God's got something better for us. He's doing something else in our lives. It may also be that we're going through the process of God purifying us, and also what God might be adding to us. And it's amazing that God wants to both purify us, where he removes stuff from our lives, but then he also wants to add things. He wants to add his strength. He wants to add his nature. He wants to add his character. And sometimes we find that only through the challenges we face. It's not the only time we find that, but sometimes we find that. And last time I shared, I was talking about two things really, that we believe his word and we rely on his strength. And they're so important. Believe his word. What's God said to you? What's God said in his word? And we rely on his strength. You know, because sometimes the storms that we face may be a questioning in our own minds about God, about who he is. You know, in recent times there's been some well-known Christians, some famous Christians who have abandoned the faith. And I saw something recently that showed that the common denominator for them all was that they began to think in their own minds about what God should be like. And they decided that God didn't fit, the God of the Bible didn't fit with who they thought he should be. And so it's so important for us that we know what God's word is, and that we continue to obey his word, and that we have experience with God. And by experience, I'm not talking about, you know, that we've fallen down at some stage when somebody's prayed for us, or that we've been shaking, that we've been laughing. But it's about has God impacted your life in some way? You know, we heard about that this morning already. Has there been deliverance from destructive habits? Has there been a sense of purpose where we had none? You know, have we known a sense of love or grace or peace where we couldn't possibly have known that before? I've been able to love people that I couldn't possibly love in my own strength, no matter how hard I tried. That where there, in my own sense there would be judgment, but now I experience grace. Where, you know, I have peace that doesn't make any sense. If God has impacted us in some way, and that's so important, it's something we can hang on to. We don't go by our experiences, but if we know that God has worked in our lives at some point, that is something that we can hang on to, and that's something which is there. We can strengthen our faith. Whatever we're going through, we say, well, I know that God has been with me, that God has touched me, that God has helped me before, and he's not going to let me down this time. And so have we had a real salvation experience? You know, as John Wesley put it, you know, I felt my cold heart strangely warmed. And so it's so important then, in the storms, to know his word, to believe his word, and to rely on His strength. And then knowing His word, we find, you know, why it is so important that we have also good teaching. That's another reason why it's so important to be connected to be part of a local church. Not necessarily because Trevor and Jeremy and myself are the best three teachers in the world. Maybe we are, I don't know. But not just because of that, but because there is so much out there. There's so much on the internet and there is so much good stuff. But there's also so much that's not so good. And when you're part of a local church and you're connected to that family, you know, you have that, it's sort of like a bearing, you know, something which we can line up. We have people who can help us to make sure that we know what's right, that we have that good foundation. So often, you know, I see people that somewhere, you know, they're strong in the word, but somewhere early on, there's been some good foundational teaching, and that is so important. So believe His word and rely on His strength. But that's where we've been. Today I just want to talk about three things, hopefully I'll get through them in reasonable time, that that will help us when we're going through the storms. The first thing I want to talk about is to remember that storms are temporary. Whatever it is we're going through, it will pass. In the natural, storms are temporary. Sometimes they last longer than others. Sometimes they're very quick. You know, a tsunami is very quick, but you don't want to be in one, really, do you? But, you know, there were cyclones and that can take a lot longer. But whatever it is, it's going to pass. Whatever you're going through, whatever your challenges are, they are only temporary. They will have an end. Jessie Calder wrote the song Storms Never Last. She recorded it with her husband. If you haven't heard of Jessie Calder, maybe you've heard of her husband, Waylon Jennings. Those of us my age or a bit older may remember a band, Dr. Hook, who recorded it. Maybe it's more familiar. But the song starts, "Storms never last, do they, babe? Bad times all pass with the wind." And that's something to remember. Something we can hang on to. You know, maybe it's even better to actually find that in the Word of God. In Psalm 30 verse 5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." And even if we are going through a hard time, even if there is weeping, the idea that, yes, it's here, but in the morning there's joy, it's going to pass. The storm is going to pass. The night is going to pass. Seasons pass. Unless you live in the tropics, maybe it might be a bit harder to explain there. But season, although they have a wet season and a dry season, don't they? You know, we have seasons and they always pass. They always come to an end. Night comes to an end. Storms come to an end. And sometimes storms can be damaging, but often, you know, how often we've had a thunderstorm or whatever and you go out next morning and everything somehow just seems so fresher. There's a smell in the air that wasn't there. And it's not pollen, thankfully. But whatever it is, whether it brings something positive or not, it will end. I heard somebody suggest that, you know, one of the greatest passages in the Bible is where it says, "And it came to pass." Thankfully, it didn't come to stay, but storms will always pass. Storms are only temporary. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there with me. Second Corinthians chapter 4, I particularly want to look at verse 17, but we'll read verses 16 to 18. It says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Really, whatever is happening in our life is only temporary. Whatever's happening around us, whatever's happening even to us, it's only temporary. But what God is doing is eternal. You know, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, Paul's really talking about persecution there. But whatever it is, it's not going to last forever. It's going to have an end. But what God is doing, that's eternal. And so we can take comfort in knowing that whatever it is, it will have an end. It's temporary. It's not here to stay. But even if whatever it is costs us our lives, even if we go through sickness and we don't see the healing that we want, it's still not permanent. See, because we have the promise of eternity with God. And that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, what's going on? It's working something within us which is eternal. But hey, even if it costs us our life, we have something which is going to last for eternity. Costs us our life, we go to be with the Lord. See, the storm can't take from us what is really valuable. It's only us, only our choices, our decision that can do that. What's really valuable is what God places within us, is what God does in our lives. And the storm can't take that. Whatever your challenge is, it will pass. But even if you want to be negative and look at the worst, it's still only temporary because we have eternity with God. And what God's done in us, we'll get to enjoy that forever. So storms are only temporary. The second thing is to pray. And you think, well, that sounds pretty obvious. But what I mean is we pray for others. We don't just pray for ourselves. And I've shared these verses before a couple of months ago, but in Acts 27 and 28, we read about Paul on his way to Rome. He's been taken captive. He's gone to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. And during part of the journey, they're caught in a storm. And not just any sort of a storm there in the Mediterranean Sea, which threatens to lose, for the loss of the ship and the loss of many lives. But if we just pick it up in Acts 27, verse 20. It says, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. So we see they're in a storm, and it's been a storm that has been going on for several days. And actually, Paul is in there not of his own accord. You know, he's there as a captive from the Roman soldiers. But then even before they sail, Paul has a word of knowledge and says, it's not the time. We read there back at the start, the time for sailing, it's the storm has passed, it's now the storm season. And then Paul has a word from God which says, you know, that if you sail, there's going to be the loss of the ship, there's going to be loss of life, but They're motivated by greed. They're motivated by money. It's going to cost them money to wait until the season passes. So they're there. And Paul is in this storm through no fault of his own, as a result of others. But what we see is that he's praying. And he's seemingly not just praying for himself, but he's praying for others. He says that the angel stood before him. He says, "Don't be afraid, Paul." But then he says, "I've also given you the lives of others, everybody on this ship." Whereas the warning was that there would be people who are lost. So Paul is praying not just for himself, but he's praying for the others. He's praying, you know, even for the crew, for the passengers on the ship, those who have taken him into captivity, those who have got him into this situation, he is praying for them. And then even as we read the story that they do, they run aground, they find out later that it's Malta they've run aground on. And if we go to chapter 28, verse 7, it says, "In that region there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary." So Paul, you know, and again, I'm sure that he's praying for himself. He's just looking because he's got the promise of God. But there's an opportunity there. There's somebody who's sick. And Paul is not thinking about himself. He prays for that person, and we see the healing there. And then because of that, there's an opportunity to pray for many others. And he prays, and there's healing. Imagine if Paul is only praying for himself. He becomes locked into his own thoughts, you know, the opportunities that would be missed. But Paul is praying for others. What we see that, you know, like there's obviously compassion in his prayers. You know, everybody else on the ship is going through the same storm. It's got to be just as uncomfortable for them, and except for the crew, they're not just in the storm being tossed about and feeling so sick that they can't eat. But they've actually got to be trying to save the ship and trying to sail the ship. And yet Paul, he's thinking not only of himself, but he's thinking of others and what they're going through and those who even actually are finding it worse, because they've got to try and work in those conditions. So from Paul, there's a sense of compassion. There's a sense of service. And that when we find ourselves going through struggles, that one way, that the thing that will help us greatly to get through them is to pray, not just for ourselves, but to find out who else can we pray for? Who can I pray for? Because it gets our mind off our own situation, our own circumstances. How can I serve others? Who can I serve in this time? You know, maybe our circumstances, particularly if it's sickness or something like that, it restricts, limits what we can do, but we can still pray. We can still do what we can. What can I do to be a blessing to others? And that's what Paul's doing in this situation. You know, I remember a time, and it's back on the farm, so it's a few years ago, and so Rachel's a little bit younger than she is now, a bit smaller. But somehow, I think it was Joshua who started it, but we had a vomiting bug. So I think Joshua was the one who caught it first. He got, you know, sick and he was fine. Then Rachel comes down with it, and then I get the vomiting bug. Now you ladies, you all know about man flu, don't you? Okay. Now I usually do okay with man flu. I can handle that okay. But when it comes to vomiting, look, I just turn into a big sook. I'm a wuss. Okay, and this is it, and not just vomiting once, but, you know, I've got the bug, and I'm there, and I'm in bed, feeling sorry for myself. But see, Rachel's been sick longer than me, and she hasn't eaten for longer than me, and so she's, you know, I'm a little girl. And suddenly, somehow, in my feeling sorry for myself, I start to think about Rachel. And so actually, Lord, this is getting serious. So I start praying for her. You know, I was in bed still. Wasn't that excited to get up and lay hands on her or anything. But I start praying that God would heal Rachel because she needed it more than me. And actually, the amazing thing is I very quickly went to sleep. I slept for several hours. I woke up. First thing I hear is I hear Rachel's voice down there in the kitchen, the dining room somewhere. And immediately I think, oh, no, she's still not well. But then I realize, no, it's a happy voice. She's doing well. She's eating something. And then I realize, hey, I feel well. This is good. Now, what I'd really love to say that I've discovered a way for, you know, every time I get sick, I just find someone to pray for and then I get well. But it hasn't worked that way. But there was something really significant in that. When I took my mind off myself and started praying for someone else, started thinking about them, then my mind went into a different place. You know, and there's been lots of examples like that. I remember, you know, a pastor that we had, who seems every time he struggled with a bad back, but every time he went to minister somewhere, it seemed that God got him praying for backs. And eventually, he received the healing he wanted. Many of us have heard Stuart and Judy's story recently, you know, when Stuart's there in hospital in Sydney waiting for the bypass. And obviously, it's probably not very comfortable for them, but they start praying for everybody else in the ward. And that's a wonderful thing. So one of the things that we can do to help us through the storm is we can pray for others. We can find what we can do to pray for others. When we care for them, have that sense of compassion, it takes our eyes off our own problems. But it also brings us into line with the heart and the purpose of God. There's a temptation. There's always a temptation, but especially when we're struggling, there's a temptation to become insular. And we need, especially at that time, to be reminded to remember the bigger picture. Another interesting thing that Paul is praying, Paul prays for those who caused his problems, the ones who got him into that problem. He's praying for them. And so, you know, and when our problem, and often the problems that we have are caused by other people, but it's the best thing to do there, and I found this myself a few years ago. Actually pray for those who caused the problem. You know, don't pray God deal with them the way that they should be dealt with, but pray for them with a heart that God would do the best for them. It takes our eyes off ourselves, and it brings us into the heart and purpose of God. So pray for others. And the last one, I'll just mention this quickly, is that we need to continue to obey. Whatever it is we're going through, we need to continue to obey. Psalm 119, verse 143 says, "Trouble and anguish has overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight." Trouble and anguish have overtaken me. It doesn't say what it is, but yet in this time, the commandments, the word of God, what God has said is his delight. It's the thing he delights in. Let's keep that as our delight as well, as our purpose. And the greatest example in the Bible, I think certainly in the Old Testament, is Joseph. Who all this thing, you know, he was sold into captivity by his brothers and he's sold as a slave. And he's a long way from home and it would seem that he's a long way from the promise of God that's on his life. And if ever there was a temptation just to say, well, I might as well get something back for myself, it must have been in the situation Joseph was in. But he refused to give up on God. He refused to disobey. He refused to take advantage of Potiphar's wife when he had the opportunity. He continued. Why? You know, he wasn't thinking about being caught. It was because it was what God wanted of him. And so we have his example. So when things are tough, that's the time, all the time, we need to continue to obey, but we need to keep that in mind. I was actually looking for a picture I could put up while I talked about this. I had this visiting mind of somebody sheltering in the rock while there's a storm going around. You know, I Googled sheltering in the rock, I Googled the rock, I looked for all these things, I couldn't find any pictures like that. And I thought, oh, why don't I go to Rock of Ages? You know, that's what inspired this. But when I looked at Rock of Ages, most of the images are not of a rock, but of somebody hanging onto a cross, clinging to a cross. See, the start of the third verse says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." And so when we are in the storm, if we want the shelter, if we want to make sure that we are not harmed in the things that really matter, we need to make sure we're clinging to that cross. I see that representing three things, that idea of clinging to the cross at that time in the storm. You know, we trust in Jesus alone for salvation. It's not up to anything I can do. The cross also represents death to self. The old man is dead. My old life is dead. That sinner who deserved God's punishment is dead, which means that I have a new life in Christ. And it also represents a life of obedience. We talk about carrying our cross. It's about a life of obedience, of trust and service, because it's about taking up a life, that the life that Jesus has, and following him. So if I can just finish this morning, not every storm is of God. You know, some of them are meant to destroy us. That's their intention. But they don't have to destroy us. They don't have to harm us. We can find security, we can find safety, we can find shelter, not from the storm itself, but from the damage it might do to our lives, to our spiritual lives. There are some practical things that I've shared that hopefully will help us to trust God today. Remember, the storms are temporary. We pray for others. We look for people, others to pray for. We continue to obey God. It will help us to hold on to him. That will allow him to bring us through so that we can come out stronger. We cannot be destroyed. And we cannot be dulled in God's purpose for us. Not only through the storm, but afterwards. And so I'd just like to share those thoughts. And we could go on really, you know, if I were to look at, you know, times in the Bible where they talk about going through a wilderness or a valley, you know, we could probably find other things. But these are some things I just wanted to share and that encourage us and, you know, trust that maybe they've encouraged us in some way. But Lord, we just want to thank you that whatever comes against us, Lord, it doesn't have to destroy us. Lord, we don't have to give up. It doesn't mean that you've abandoned us. But Lord, you are with us. Lord, we always have your promises. Lord, in difficult times, we can lose sight of that. So Lord, I just pray that you continue to help us to keep our eyes on you. And Lord, if there's some things that I've shared, Lord, that things that we can apply, Lord, I pray that they would be an encouragement to somebody here, that there were some things that we can continue to do so that we don't lose sight of you, we don't lose sight of what you've called us to, and Lord, we don't abandon your calling on our lives, and we don't abandon, Lord, what you want to do in our lives. The most important thing is, Lord, you want us to be with you. We want us to continue to believe, to continue to walk with you, to have that relationship. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we continue to look to you. Thank you, Lord, you don't leave us, you don't forsake us. But, Lord, sometimes we have to make that choice. Lord, help us to make that choice, to look to you. Lord, I just thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord, it is the end of the old life. And, Lord, that with that you bring new life. Not another life that we can start over and muck up again, but another life where we now have your life within us. We have your Holy Spirit within us. Lord, I pray that we would remember that we would look to that, and that's the life that we would live in, not the past, not the failures, but the new life we have in Jesus and the new life living in the Spirit. Lord, we just pray that. We just thank you in Jesus' name. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning particularly who needs that extra boost, who needs that extra help, anyone who's watching and needs that extra help, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them, you would strengthen them now, encourage them with the word that's been spoken this morning. We just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.